Before we begin, we'd like to make the minor control adjustments. Oh, something broke. Hold on one moment, please. Just one moment. Thank you.
Throughout the entire show, don't move!
Our library is well stocked with priceless first editions. Only ghost stories, of course.
Well, as you can see, we're just one big happy family.
WDW Radio. Your information station.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to the WDW Radio Show, your Walt Disney World information station. I am your host, Lou Mangiello, and this is show number 515, and I'm here once again not only to help you have the best experience in the parks, but I also want to bring you a little bit of Disney magic wherever you are, not just with the podcast, but with my videos, live broadcasts and chat on Facebook every Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, my books, audio tours, blog, special events, and more. You can find everything over at wdwradio.com and be part of the community and conversation by going to wdwradio.com/community. This week, we're going down the bayou as I take you down to New Orleans to sample and savor the cuisine from the Sasagula Float Works and Food Factory at Disney's Port Orleans French Quarter Resort. Inspired by the flavors and flair of Mardi Gras, we will go through the entire menu and taste most of it along the way, and I'll let you know if you should take a trip down the Sasagula for a meal that's beyond beignets. I'll then have the answer to our last Walt Disney World trivia question of the week, and I'll pose a new challenge for your chance to win a Disney prize package that now includes a shirt from our WDW Radio shirt store. Then stay tuned to the end of the show, as I'll have more information about upcoming WDW Radio events, our next meet of the month, and lots of your voicemails and more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of the WDW Radio Show.
All right, Lulu, let's get to it, darling.
As a kid growing up in New Jersey, when we went away on vacation in the summer, we drove everywhere, right? It's like the opening scene from Cars, like we were able to see and learn all about this incredible country by touring it on the road. And I remember vividly one of my favorite places to visit back in 1984 for the World's Fair was New Orleans, Louisiana. I remember going to the Superdome and wandering the streets. And it wasn't until many, many years later that I went back as a quote-unquote adult, just a few years ago, using a rock and roll half marathon as an excuse to visit New Orleans. Me, my family, and my extended family from WDW Radio and the running team gathered from the four corners of the United States to meet up in New Orleans. And everything that I remembered about loving that city as a kid was amplified even further, because I could really understand and appreciate the music and the people and the soul and the spirit, and most importantly, obviously, the food of New Orleans. It was one of my favorite trips that I ever took. I couldn't wait to go back and eat my way through that city once again. Unfortunately, I can't get there as often as I like, so I have to do the next best thing, which is go to either and or both of the Port Orleans resorts here at Walt Disney World. Each has its own unique flavor and flair and dining experiences. And today, we're back again to the Sasagula Float Works and Food Factory. Say that three times fast. We were here back on show 466, which was 50-some, almost probably more than a year ago, for breakfast. And we're here tonight to try dinner, because I am in the mood for a little or a lot Southern comfort food, jambalaya. And joining me once again on this culinary adventure is my family and yours. Ladies first, in reverse chronological order. Welcome back, Deanna.
Good evening, everyone.
Marion Rose.
Hi.
Nicholas Peter.
I like food.
Then you are in the right place, and clearly you are my son. Listen, when we went to New Orleans a couple years ago, I think that was the thing that we remarked about the most. Look, I love the history of that city and the culture, and there's an energy as you walk the streets. But one of the things that we really loved the most was the food. I think we really, really did go on a culinary tour and try to eat as much and a wide variety of cuisines and flavors and experiences while we were there. And I know, Deanna, we remarked that was one of our favorite food cities, as well as cities anywhere.
By far, the food was phenomenal. The culture was even better. The people were so spectacular. So, hint, hint, say no more. We need to go back for another visit, but
we have to go back, Kate. And kids, you too. I mean, I think that for you was the first time that you guys were exposed to po' boys and red beans and rice and,
Mr. B's barbecue
the barbecue
shrimp? I could tip, my mouth is salivating.
Please don't drool on the recorder. Mm-hmm. And we had like an authentic crawfish boil. And so there was a lot. So was there any sort of food that you remember that you either loved from there or want to eat again, wish you could have again?
All the food there was honestly amazing. It's its own culture. It's its own... It's separated from all the rest of the country. It's its own place. It has its own flavors, its own people, its own country. And it was just a spectacular experience. And I would love to.
That's my boy right there.
Café Dumont.
Brennan's.
Brennan's, Nicholas.
Basically, everything is owned by Brennan's down there. But yeah, we did everything from, remember, our first meal was at Stanley, a casual po' boy and red beans and rice. And then we ended with brunch at Brennan's. We were there for about 6 hours.
With the bananas Foster. Oh, my neck.
You remember that? That was good.
Oh, we so were all those things that we loved and we enjoyed and we missed, you know, it's hard to get elsewhere. But one of the things that I think Disney tries to do, not just here but everywhere, is take some of those flavors and experiences and bring them to the parks. It's no substitute for being there. But a lot of the things that we mentioned, you can actually find here at Sasagula Float Works and Food Factory, which is not a table service restaurant. It's actually counter service. And part of the reason why we're back here, and we're back here again, because we were actually here for the meat of the month just a couple of days ago, and I realized, like, I need to come back here again, was I was not just seeing, but sampling some of the food items that people were having at the meat. And I saw things on the menu that I'm like, we need to do this again.
I totally agree. I'm thinking right now about what I'm going to have and what I don't want to share with everyone that I have to, but...
Welcome to my world. So let's sort of take you through, because I think, you know, a lot of times if you're not staying at a resort, it's very much overlooked. Nobody would sort of think to make a special trip out here.
This, like, is the best, the closest thing here to, like, an authentic New Orleans. Like, it's nothing near the original, but it is still a very good experience that tries to replicate the culture.
And you guys are happy because before the refurbishment of Sasagula, there used to be the giant parade head, the parade float heads here, which were a little off-putting to you guys when you were younger.
I didn't think this was Sasagula's. I think it was the media event for It, so...
This was not Marion's favorite place by far.
Like, you literally said when you walked in, like, you couldn't look up when you came here. Because, again, this, look, and the idea is that this is a warehouse where they would store parade floats. And now if you look around, it's much more subtle decor. But if you look at some of the artwork on the walls and some of the posters on the walls, it very much explains that part of the story for you. But more, look, we're here. The environment is wonderful. And look, we're here for dinner. Right outside in the lobby lounge is Scat Cats, and there's going to be a jazz trio out there tonight. We'll have to do a lounge review of Scat Cats at one night. But more importantly, again, this is a counter service walk-up location, which is divided up into 5 different stations. So there's a grill shop, there's a bakery shop, a carving shop, pizza and pasta shop, a kids' meal shop, and the beignet shop, which I know is in the bakery shop, but I had to come back around to that one more time. Mm-hmm. And the thing that, one of the reasons why I wanted to come here for dinner was I was really surprised at just how extensive the menu is. And that's one of the things I think we're seeing as a continuing trend. Look, you go to places like Art of Animation or Pop Century and go to the food courts, and we're going to go back to both of those to review, because the there's such a wide selection. So here in the grill shop, there are...
In the grill shop.
Look at, remember Nicholas, like, he used to just wait his turn. Now he literally grabbed the menu. So Nicholas, all right, tell us what's in the grill shop.
There is the bacon cheeseburger with house-smoked bacon and cheddar cheese on a brochure bun, which sounds delicious.
And how much is that?
$13.
Okay.
Next is deluxe barbecue cheeseburger with barbecue pork, fried onions, and house-made pickles and cheddar cheese for $13.49. Chicken sandwich served with grilled or fried and topped with mushrooms, onions, Swiss cheese, and red pepper aioli for $11. And the cheesesteak with sautéed onions, banana peppers, and cheese sauce for $13.
Interesting. So those are some of the items at the... God, and everything that you were saying, Nicholas, I am so hungry. Marion, you are...
The other thing, too, I want to point out is that if you're noticing that a lot of these counter service places, they have these grab-and-go selections also, right. which actually is... There's a lot of healthy choices, which there's a lot of fruit choices. There's also some sandwiches.
You need
choices.
To stop talking right now about the healthy and the fruit, because the next thing that I'm seeing from the carving shop...
People are very focused on their health.
Right, and I'm focused on my health.
Snack option here.
Right. You know what? Okay, the portion of my health that I'm focused on is the umami portion and the yummy portion and the jambalaya portion. In the carving shop, there's a jambalaya at $9.99. One of the things that we saw on the menu that was very intriguing was the create your own signature rice bowl. And I love this. I love being able to. This is one of the things I love about places like Satuli Canteen, is sort of you can mix and match your ingredients. So here you can choose from pulled pork, catfish or shrimp, red or black beans, Cajun, dirty, or white rice at $12.99. We're so all over that. What are you thinking? Catfish?
Catfish, dirty rice, and
black
red beans.
Beans.
Red beans.
So, all right, relax.
Come on.
So there's also, in the carving shop, there's three variations of the Southern classic. There's a blackened ribeye, a fried chicken, or barbecue ribs. And they all come with machu, collard greens, mashed potatoes, glazed carrots, mac and cheese, macaroni salad, and red beans and rice. And the machu is like a, it's a Cajun Creole type of vegetable thing. Those all come in anywhere from $14 to $16.99. There's also create your own pasta, individual pizzas or family style pizzas, shrimp and grits. We got to get a cup of the gumbo as well. And a pretty large, kids menu as well. There's a sustainable fish entree with a choice of sides, a ribs entree. Those are about $7 each, as well as pizzas, macaroni and cheese, and pastas with turkey marinara.
So what I love is, because since our children are such, they've always been such great eaters, they do give the kids a smaller portion on the entrees that they offer for adults. Like, our kids would definitely order ribs or a fish, right, or something like that, whereas some other children just would have a pizza or the, you know, mac and cheese.
And they have nuggets and burgers and grilled cheese as well. They have all the...
They have good options.
Right. They also, Marion, you, since I know your wheelhouse really is less of the savory and more of the sweet, would you like to tell us some of the things that are in the dessert/bakery shop?
I'm very excited.
You literally just smiled when I said that to you.
I'm very excited. So there are the beignets, which you can get with a bunch of sauces for $3.99.
What are the sauces?
You could get three beignets for $3.99 with a choice of dipping sauce that is caramel, raspberry, or chicory coffee ganache.
Oh, that's so good.
Or an extra $1.99. And then you can get six beignets with the same thing. Or you can get we're definitely getting this, the beignet ice cream sundae, which is your choice of ice cream out of the flavors that they have, and sauce, choose any sauce, with whipped cream and beignets for $6.49. You could also get just ice cream by itself, the house-made mini pies, the Louisiana-style king cake, the freshly baked cookie, the Mickey-shaped brownie, and the house-made pecan
praline for seven.
Wait, what was that thing?
Wait, I'm definitely
the pecan praline. OMG, we're getting okay.
Okay, so everybody makes fun of me because I like everything maple and everything pecan or pecan or like at school because I like butter pecan ice cream and nobody likes it, but it's delicious, so I'm going to get this and I'm going to like it. Sorry. Thank you. Bye.
So, all right. Okay, we'll come back to the desserts because that's going to...
Let's go order food because I'm hungry.
Shocker. All right, so from the grill shop, there's the bacon cheeseburger, the barbecue cheeseburger with barbecue pork on it, the chicken sandwich... Or the cheesesteak. Isn't there also a chicken and biscuit?
There's a chicken and biscuit, and it has pickles. I love pickles.
So, wait a minute. Yeah, so yeah, why did I not see the chicken and biscuit? Oh, how did I miss that going through my menu? All right, so what are you guys thinking? Nicholas, what sort of jumped out at you on the menu?
It's not on that menu, but I think the chicken and biscuit.
All right, here we go.
Voodoo sauce jumped out.
Yeah, all right, so let's do a chicken and biscuit. Let's do a signature rice bowl with catfish. We've got to get the jambalaya, obviously. We probably should, for purposes of the review, also get the gumbo. You want to get one of the burgers, Marion? How about you get the burger with the
stuff on it.
With all the stuff on it? The deluxe barbecue burger. All right, let's do this. Let's get up. And then all the desserts. Let's get up. Let's hit it, and then we'll come back.
Ready? Break.
May the Schwartz be with you. How did I possibly forget one of the most important requisite elements of the menu? We were so excited looking at the first four stations. We never made it over to the last and possibly the best, the po' boy shop. Because there's daily po' boys with shrimp or catfish, the $10.99, a sarsaparilla power salad, which you know I'm not getting, but I'll read it, which is, it actually sounds good. It's kale, quinoa, cranberries, oranges, walnuts, red onions, citrus vinaigrette with chicken, shrimp, or tofu at $11.49, a French Quarter house salad at $11.49, a muffaletta, which again is a staple of New Orleans with sliced salami, mortadella, ham, and provolone with olive salad on a route. Oh, I almost want to get that too. The jambalaya, the gumbo, and kids' meals as well. So again, in the interest of research and science, I'm going to have to get the jambalaya. I've got to get the gumbo, and I probably need to get a po' boy as well, just to make sure that I completely run the culinary gamut. Okay, we divided, we conquered, and we got all our food at exactly the same time, and we decided for a little change of venue, we came outside, which I love, because it feels like a somewhat quieter, calmer version of the French Quarter. There's wrought iron, tables and chairs, under ceiling fans, the horse-drawn carriage just went by, you hear the kids playing in the pool, the music off in the distance, but more importantly, I am surrounded, not just by good people, but more importantly, some delicious-looking food. I know you guys are starving, but I will try and describe very quickly. The first thing I noticed was portion sizes.
Yes,
the portion sizes are huge. I was expecting the shrimp po' boy, honestly, super bready. There looks like there's about the half the Atlantic or one of the oceans in here, covered in a little bit of a little zesty sauce. There used to be a huge helping of French fries there, which all of you ate. The other thing I want to make mention too is everything is made to order. So nothing is sort of sitting up in a window or under a heat lamp waiting for you to grab it. Everything is made.
Is this a blog?
Yeah, you doing?
Good. Is this a blog or not?
A podcast.
So for the jambalaya, it's probably an 8-inch or so, 9-inch or so in diameter bowl. The same thing for your make-your-own rice bowl.
Everything is shareable. Like, I have to say, we got four dishes here, but everything is... You can order two dishes and still have plenty of food here.
I mean, families could... I was really tempted, just so you know, when you turned your back for a second, I was really tempted to get the shrimp and grits, because I tasted it the other day, and it was so good. So, what should we dive into first? Let's dive into... Because you've got the fish on there... Let's sort of talk about that bowl. That was a make-your-own rice bowl. You did red beans, the dirty rice, and what looks to be a broiled catfish.
The catfish is cooked to perfection. It's very, very light. The rice and beans have an
They are a little bit spicy, but not over the top spicy, because I'm not a big spicy food, but they have a nice zing to them.
I see. Yeah. I like that. And then I'll tell you what, and I've noticed this too. We talked about this when we were looking at things like food and wine, some of the counters of restaurants. I love the fact that Disney is not afraid to bring a little bit of the heat so that there's a little bit more of a depth of flavor to it. That's not, if you're not a spicy person, don't dismiss this as saying, well, I can't eat it because it's spicy. It's just, it's not spicy, it's spiced.
It has excellent flavor, and it is spiced to perfection. To actually fit the, you know, the surroundings and the atmosphere where we are in New Orleans, because they do have a little bit of a kick.
Actually, it does have a little bit of zip to it. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. Maren, you're not normally a spicy person. You try that?
I did, but my tolerance is very low. Very low. It's still spicy, but I can definitely taste the flavor in it.
Mm. So basically, don't waste that on you.
Right.
Keep your fork out of my dirty rice.
Right.
That catfish, too, it's a very mild, super flaky, falls apart. It breaks apart with a fork. You don't need a knife to cut that. It's not like it's almost more of a flounder consistency than it is like a swordfish.
And the portion, the piece of filet that they put on here, is perfect. Definitely. Mm-hmm. This is a hit.
So that is a, that's really good. And that was what, $10 or $11 somewhere around there? Mm-hmm. Nicholas, you're interesting because not only did you grab the mic, but as we were talking about the catfish, you picked up the chicken and biscuit, which was one of your first choices, and started digging in. You're eating that a little bit too fast for my liking because that's not going to leave a lot for me. But while you hand me the chicken and biscuit, tell me your initial impressions and thoughts.
It has a little bit of a zest to it with the voodoo sauce they put on. The pickles add the perfect amount of, like, flavor and, like, spice. It's a delicious thing. I highly recommend it.
Mm. So there's a the vinegary of voodoo the pickles sauce. Complements the voodoo sauce. Again, it's not a heat spice, but look at your sister had, like, six bites of that. Marion, again, you don't like things that are necessarily spicy. But see, that to me sort of screams the South. It's chicken and biscuits, but with a little bit of that sort of Cajun heat to it.
The pickles add.
Why don't you hand that back to me while you're talking?
No, wait. The pickles add the perfect crunch to this sandwich.
I don't remember what that tasted like. Let me just try that one more time, just in case I forgot.
Awesome.
And that came with a choice of house-made chips or fries, all which were made right on the spot, right?
It came with a choice of, you get two sides. The choices are house-made chips, fries, coleslaw, and pasta salad.
Nice. I'm happy you went for the chips.
And the coleslaw.
Because I got the fries for the po' boy, which I think, why don't we hit the po' boy next? Because I really want to get to the gumbo and the red beans and rice. It's almost, can you take care of, help me out with this? Because this is almost an open face type sandwich. It's probably a 7-inch or so piece of relatively like, you know, crusty type of Italian hoagie roll. There's 2, 4, 6, there's probably 12 pieces of shrimp in there. Why don't you just give me one of the pieces of shrimp?
Sure.
And let me just make sure that these aren't poisonous. Yeah.
Did you like one, Marion?
Again, this was made to order. There was not a basket full of fried shrimp in there. He dropped them into the fryer.
The aioli sauce is delicious.
Nice crunch to it. Not oily at all. Sometimes they're heavily breaded, overly oily. Have you guys had a taste yet?
I did.
You did? What do you think?
I'm still eating.
Good. So while you're still eating, why don't you give me one with the bread now? Let me just make sure the bread is, you know, perfectly. Let me just make sure the. Oh, I can't even. It's so big. Wait, I have to put the recorder down. This is a two-hander.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's really good. Again, it's almost a spicy mustard.
Mm-hmm.
as opposed to a, there's no heat to that at all, but
it's like a spicy Dijon.
There's a really generous portion of shrimp, because that's sometimes you know when you get a sandwich, you worry that it's a lot of fluff, it's a lot of bread, it's a lot of filler, but that's really good. Mm-hmm. Marion, first bite, thoughts? Marion's doing she's making the yummy face and nodding as they get the recorder out of my face. And I think the po' boys, I think there was a shrimp and a catfish. Those came in at about $12, $13 or so. Also a very shareable portion size.
Now for their prices, they are very, very big. They have a lot of food, and then they have a lot of different flavors. They're very delicious. And yeah, delicious.
So I have been craving jambalaya since I saw it on the menu at the Meat of the Month the other day. Again, it's a healthy portion of jambalaya. You can see the pieces of andouille sausage and chicken in there. Guys, you go shy, you go hungry. Dig right in. Mm-hmm. So again, I think sometimes when people hear New Orleans cooking jambalaya, you're concerned that it might be too spicy. I think this is just the right amount of heat. We were in New Orleans. I had some jambalaya that was oppressively hot. You know, it takes away from the flavor when it's like that. Rice is cooked perfectly. It's tender. It's moist. There's a lot of meat in here. Again, sometimes you order jambalaya, there is a ton of meat in here.
And seafood.
Did you try?
It's delicious. There is a lot of seafood in here, too, which is wonderful. And that's how jambalaya should be.
Did you try, Maren?
Different types of sausage, different types of chicken. Well, not different types of chicken, but there's chicken.
So, see, this is what I love. You get this honking piece of cornbread that your son is trying to steal unsuccessfully, I might add. This so far is my favorite. Mm-hmm. I love a good jambalaya. Like sitting outside here on a cool night like tonight, a little bit of spice. This is nice. This is really good.
I agree.
Like I would come back here specifically for the jambalaya. Yeah. Like, and this is, and just so you know, this is not just the dinner menu. It's also the lunch menu. So, you know, sometimes I like to come out to different resorts to do work. Like, I could see myself sitting out here, a big old bowl of jambalaya, and we have one final thing left on the menu, which we can, and then we'll rank it, and then I'm sure you guys are too full for dessert, right, Mary?
No.
Are you basically biting, like, you're basically eating daintily so you can leave room for dessert?
I'm leaving room for dessert because you guys are going to be so full, and I cannot put any of the pecan praline to waste. So I'm eating very sparingly.
Marion, you've eaten with us before. Nothing's ever going to go to waste. This is all going to... But you know what I'm going to do? While Nicholas is getting spoons, I'm going to take a piece of this cornbread, and I'm going to dip it right there into the gumbo. Mm-hmm. Nice, healthy portion of gumbo. With some white rice in the middle. All right, so last, certainly not least, is the gumbo. Nicholas has already dug in. We had gumbo probably every day while we were in New Orleans.
Yes.
It's made differently. It's spiced differently. Hmm. Oh, that's different. I should try this again. Wait a minute.
It's nice because they put a nice heaping portion of white rice in the top that actually gives it a more hearty, like, if it was cold outside kind of feel, it would give you that.
So that sneaks up on you, right? So I taste it first. I'm like, oh, it's not too spicy. And then you let it sit there for a second. And right there on the back of the palate, you get that little bit of a little zing of heat. Marion's looking like you're not a spicy person, are you?
No, I am not. I am definitely more on the sweet side.
I know, you're holding out for desserts. So, Nicholas, you are a child or you play one on TV. What do you think of, if you can come up for air for 2 seconds, what do you think of the jambalaya? I mean, I'm sorry, the gumbo.
The gumbo is it's really spicy, so you would really need the like spice to have this. But with the white rice combined with it, like, it's really the spices mixed in. It's a great flavors, like, very unique, like, and very authentic to New Orleans. So,
so this is a cup size portion, which is like, it's a, yeah, this is a cup size. This must be the bowl size. The jambalaya plate must be the bowl size. That's a heaping portion,
portion of,
and I think that was $4.99, somewhere around there.
And the bowl was like $6.99.
Right.
So the portions are amazing.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, too, Tables in Wonderland is,
yes,
is so we saved, you know, it was almost like getting an entire entree for free because yeah. They take Tables in Wonderland here. So I want you guys to rank in descending order. Right?
Wait, we haven't done the dessert yet.
I know, but I mean, in terms of the entrees, because we didn't want to order dessert at the same time, because we didn't want anything to get cold.
Or melt.
Or both. So if you had to rank these. Now, Marion, some of this stuff was a little spicy for you?
Yes, it was.
What about the po' boy? Did you like the po' boy?
The po' boy was good. The sauce, I'm saying this from so I can give people a point of view from somebody mm-hmm. who... I cannot tolerate spice if someone paid me. I can, like, I'll eat, like, a little piece of even pepper, and I get, like, overwhelmed. But, like...
You're such a delicate flower.
Gee, thanks. But let's say if you did just want to try it, it is good to, like, take a few bites and then just shove your mouth with your coleslaw and your fountain drink. Just saying. You can still taste it, but just not with the spice. Yeah.
What about the... The rice bowl. Did you have the rice bowl with the catfish?
Yes, the catfish was really, really good, actually. It was, I don't know why, when I thought catfish, I thought swordfish. When I thought swordfish, I don't know why it gave me, like, a weird, I don't know. I wasn't expecting what I got. It was actually really good. It was very tender, very, it had a very floundery kind of feel. I really liked it.
Okay. Deanna, so what for you? Oh, actually, Nicholas, you go. In descending order... Save your favorite one of the five for last.
All right, so I'd probably go catfish, po' boy. Actually, no. I'd probably go catfish, sandwich. I mean, no. Sandwich, catfish, po' boy, jambalaya, gumbo.
Wait, is that
gumbo. So gumbo's your favorite. So gumbo and jambalaya were your top two?
Yep.
I might be right behind you, Nicholas.
Okay, so mine is gumbo, jambalaya,
what?
Po' boy, chicken sandwich, catfish.
So chicken sandwich and catfish was your favorite?
Yeah.
Interesting. Which of these things is not like the other? So I was stalling for time. I would probably go... Gosh, I really do like chicken and biscuits. But I'll go... Po' boy, I'm going to go po' boy is 5, chicken and biscuit is 4, I'll do build your own rice bowl is 3, because you can't, but, which is somewhat unfair, because you can sort of mix and match that however you, but I really did like the catfish, and then I'll go gumbo, jambalaya, because I just love a big old bowl of rice and that cornbread, and I like the fact that there's a little bit of heat and spice that's sort of sitting on my palate.
Mm-hmm. And you love rice.
And I love rice and beans. So I could...
you do.
I mean, it's... Either one of these could be a meal in itself, but I think a little bit of gumbo and a little bit of jambalaya, like, that's a nice little meal right there.
Mm-hmm. And it's filling.
You're definitely getting your money's worth. You know, you can actually come here, like, if you don't want to have, like, a large dinner, you can have this as a nice lunch and then get, like, a snack for dinner. So that way you're at least, you know, on your vacation, you're saving a little bit of money, too, because you're not spending another, like, money on a big meal.
Right. Sorry, right, I mean, that's... Money. But that's what I'm saying. Like, we ordered... So we had 5 entrees, 4 drinks. There was a side of mashed potatoes and a side of coleslaw, I think. And it... With the Tables in Wonderland discount... It came in at about $50.
Right.
So
originally
that is not right. It was 67 or so somewhere with the Tables in Wonderland discount. So it was like getting an entree for free, which is why I think the Tables in Wonderland is one of the best value investments you can make for your Walt Disney World trip. So all right, let's do this. I still have a lot of gumbo and jumbo. And first of all, we've been eating nonstop. There's a like we almost have too many. We almost have too much food.
And there's a lot left. You still have a lot to eat, Lou.
There's a little part of me that's thinking about taking some of this.
We're not done. We have dessert.
Right, so...
This is my time to shine.
All right, you eat the catfish rice. I'm going to eat the jambalaya rice. Nicholas, you can have the gumbo. And then, Marion, I will let you go to town on dessert. Have you sort of started to survey the field?
I already know what I want.
You talk while I eat. Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm going to do the beignet sundae, the pecan praline, the king cake, and I think... No, it's like a little one. It's like a mini king cake. And then if you want to do one more, I say one of the mini pies because you don't find those anywhere. But there's also the specialty cupcake. So... You know, pick
I think we need to go in and look. I need to go in and really sort of survey before we make our decision. But I'm going to stop recording so I can start eating, and then we'll be back for dessert. So we opted to get three of the oh-so-many desserts. That double chocolate bun cake was looking also very tempting. But we got the Mickey-shaped praline cake, a little mini king cake, and the beignet ice cream sundae, which are three fresh-made beignets with your choice of ice cream. I chose coffee with a little bit of whipped cream and chocolate sauce on top. Nicholas, you have already begun to eat and in some cases wear your beignet sundae. What do you think so far?
The coffee, it makes me think of when we got coffee and beignets at Cafe Du Vent. It's like
a little cafe au lait in the morning. Nice warm beignets, powdered sugar everywhere. You're making the yummy sound over there.
The warm beignet with the coffee is delicious.
Marion, what do you think?
Well, I love beignets, and the powdered sugar is great. Plus, with the ice cream, I'm not a big fan of coffee, but it actually wasn't that bad. I actually kind of enjoyed it with beignets, so yeah.
And that's why I got it, because it made me think of being back at Cafe Du Monde. Like, it's quintessential New Orleans. The beignets are, they're fresh, they're flaky. I like the fact that they're a little dense as well.
They are definitely dense. But you know what? They do. They bring you right back to sitting in that cafe with that chicory coffee. And by the way, they do have chicory coffee that they sell here too, that you can have with your beignets.
Like me, those beignets are light and fluffy. I was going to say delicious, but that would have made it weird. So, and I think this came in at $6.99, somewhere around there. You get, which is pretty good because it's almost the same price as just ordering three beignets.
Yeah.
So you get the
six beignets.
Okay. Marion, you again not waiting for the rest of the group.
You dug
right into the praline pecan Mickey shaped pie.
It's amazing. So good. It is amazing.
Absolutely.
It's like pure maple sugar with little pecan chunks in it, and it's so good. And I want to eat it every day. And I love it so much.
Yeah, I know why you like that, because that
it's
is
pure
it is pure sugar.
With
pecans and
probably maple flavor.
It does have that maple, but it's a it's not like a dense cake. It's almost like a crumbly.
It's like a candy.
It's a candy.
It is almost like candy.
It's like that maple candy you get from Canada,
right?
That I absolutely love. It's like my favorite candy.
But I do love that sweetness of the pralines and the crunchiness of the pecans. That in the wait a minute, okay. That something like that in the morning with a little cup of coffee before you make it out to the parks, you load up on the caffeine and sugar, and you are good to go.
You are good to go.
Last, certainly not least, again, when you think New Orleans, you think Mardi Gras, I think king cake. Actually, I think Cajun Kringle from Haydell's Bakery, which is probably one of my, if not my favorite dessert anywhere. The first time somebody sent me one in the mail, you know I ate the whole one by myself and I didn't share. I ordered a second one so you guys wouldn't think, so I could let you try it. And that was like a family size one. This is like a small little bun cake. I don't think there's a baby in any one of these.
I hope not, because I probably ate it.
So give me your thoughts on the king cakes.
You know, it almost has like a cinnamon in it.
It's almost like
a cinnamon roll with like king cake colors.
Which honestly, that's what it looks like. Did a cross section of it. It does. It looks like a cinnamon roll with the king cake sugar on top.
Yeah, and I'm not complaining. It's very good. It's very, it is pretty light and airy, pretty flaky.
Like you.
Haha, that's funny.
Come on, it's kind of funny.
And then they have a lot of frosting on it with a lot of sprinkles, so it balanced out.
No reason why you like it.
It was good. It was like a cinnamon bun with icing.
It's definitely on the sweeter side. Mm-hmm. I think of all.
I love the pralines so much. It's my favorite thing. I love the praline. I would buy 10 of them. Mm-hmm.
I think. The praline is your favorite. Nicholas, which is your favorite dessert?
The beignets.
You look like you're ready for a nap. You look like you're ready to fall asleep. It's my boy. I'm so proud of you. That's the way it's supposed to feel. Mm-hmm. Again, not being the sweet guy, the warm beignets with a little bit of powdered sugar, that coffee ice cream. Like, I could sit out here. I would actually go back inside. Oh, look at that guy eating that cheesesteak sandwich. Looks so good. I would actually go inside and get a cup of coffee. Sit out here. Look, the street lights just came on. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful, picture-perfect night out here. Inside, people are already lining up outside of Scat Cat's Lounge for the Jazz Trio, which, when we went to New Orleans, was one of my favorite memories, was sitting in the lobby bar with that Jazz Trio. You guys were doing your running thing. We just had such a lovely time, and that's what this reminds me of. It's that that romantic historical sense that you get from New Orleans and that French Quarter, and obviously here at this French Quarter. So all right, so I want you to each make for me your perfect Sassagoula Floatworks and Food Factory meal for lunch or dinner.
All right. First, I would have a nice bowl of gumbo with, like, a nice water or tea or a coffee. And then when I'm done with that, I would go back up and get the beignets sundae and eat that.
Wow, okay. So gumbo and beignets. Gumbo and beignet sundae for you. All right, Marion?
Well, I would probably do the... maybe the chicken biscuit without the voodoo sauce, because that was the only thing that made it spicy. And then I would go back and get 5 pecan pralines and eat them all myself.
Mine was the rice bowl with the catfish and the praline as a dessert.
Would it be wrong for me to get a cup of the gumbo and jambalaya?
No.
And then share with somebody the beignets with coffee ice cream.
That sounds like the perfect dinner date.
Using my Tables in Wonderland card again. Mm-hmm. So, Sassagoula, I think I would say, is 2 for 2 in terms of, again, the 466. We came here for breakfast. Mm-hmm. We're very surprised with the similar types of things. Not just the quantity of food, but the variety and the quality of food as well. I absolutely feel that way. Again, is this a place that you would make, again, as a local, or if you were a visitor, would you either make a trip here as a local, or would you make a trip here if you were visiting Walt Disney World and not staying at this resort?
So, also, the atmosphere here around where the resort is, it brings you back to, like, downtown in the French Quarter. So... The architecture of the buildings, the scenery. So when you walk around, like, the pool area, the way they have the buildings, it's amazing. It's beautiful. I would definitely come here and stay here, or just come as a local and eat here.
Yeah, this is one of, if not my favorite, moderate resort. It's the smallest of all the resorts. I love the pool. Again, you know, one of the things that when I used to visit here from New Jersey, I said was a potential drawback of French Quarter was that they didn't have a sit-down restaurant. They didn't have a table service restaurant. And before they did the update, which obviously it needed, I thought that the quality of the food here was not one that I would certainly come to or certainly come back for. I think that very much has flipped since they made the change about a year or so ago. This is a resort that I think, you, like Riverside, you could make a special trip out to. You can go and eat at Boat Rights there, or you can eat at Riverside Mill, which we almost went to tonight to review. We'll have to go back into Riverside Mill. You can go eat there and then stay for Yeehaw Bob. And I think here it's the same thing. You can come here, you can wander around, you can eat, and then go out and either go to Scat Cats or sit outside Scat Cats. You know, you don't need to go inside the lounge itself and listen to, you know, the nightly jazz music.
I'm sure you can sit out here and hear the jazz music just as, you know, and it sounds just as fabulous in there. So.
And because it's small, it's not crowded. Like there's, you know, we were here at the prime of dinner time. It's spring break. It's not crowded, even inside. You know, Yeehaw Bob draws a crowd every single, it's like it's the first time he's performing. There's not a huge crowd here. So it's definitely a little bit more of a quieter, more relaxed, laid-back atmosphere, which I absolutely dig. So, French Quarter, I loved you before. I love you even more now. And did you guys notice inside the little nods to Princess and the Frog throughout Sasagola?
I love that.
Princess and the Frog is one of my favorite Disney movies. Again, I think it's not only beautifully drawn and executed, but I absolutely love, love, love the music there. And like the song says, I think Port Orleans, French Quarter, and Sasagola takes me down and back to New Orleans, and it's definitely worth the trip. So Marion, Deanna, Nicholas, and you, my friend, our friend, the listener who's sitting at this wonderful table outside at French Quarter, thank you so much for joining us. Let me know if you have tried Sasagola, Float Works, and Food Factory for lunch, dinner, and or breakfast. And if so, what do you think? Go to www.com/community. That's our Box People group. We can continue the conversation there. You can also tweet me, Facebook me. I am at Lou Mangiello. Or better yet, call the voicemail at 407-900-9391. Either with your thoughts, with your review, or from Port Orleans French Quarter. And I hope to see you down in New Orleans once again.
Adios. Au revoir.
Au revoir is probably a little bit closer than adios.
Gracias.
Favorite song from Princess and the Frog. Go.
Aloha. I don't know.
Favorite song from Princess and the Frog?
The Mama Odie one.
Yeah.
How's that go again?
I have no idea. Well, I have an idea. I'm just not going to sing it.
Go ahead and sing it.
See ya.
Wait. I have one more thing to say. Goodbye in French is Ayu Vivorian.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. Au revoir.
Close enough.
There you go.
Close enough. There you go.
Favorite character from Princess and the Frog?
The frog.
No,
Lewis, but
Lewis the Alligator. He's a nice guy. I like him. And like Lewis the Alligator, I also played the trumpet.
I could have given goodness.
Really? You know what? We go home. I'm going to find the trumpet in the garage. I'll serenade you guys.
I know exactly.
So do I. Herb Alpert's Rise. It was my jam back in the day. It was. When the Saints go marching in. Nothing. I'll play.
That doesn't sound too bad. A redhead on my left arm. A brunette on my right. A blonde or two to hold the candles. And that seems just about right. Hey, Lewis. Life is short. When you're done, you're done. We're on this earth to have some fun, and that's the way things are.
Celebrate
when I'm human.
It's time for our Walt Disney World trivia question of the week, where I invite you to test your knowledge of Walt Disney World history, or I'll see how well you pay attention to the details. Sometimes in what you see, maybe in what you hear, sometimes in what you eat. You can tell I'm always hungry. If you think you know the answer, you can enter via our online form for a chance to win a Disney prize package. Of course, before we get to this week's question, we're going to go back, review last week's, and select our winner. So last week we were talking all about the Muppets, my interview with Dave Goals a couple of weeks ago, and really things like the Muppets that brought me back to my childhood, including my ongoing love for video games. Not that I have as much time to play as I did when I used to go to Woodbridge Center Mall on Route 1 and play for hours on end in Spaceport. I didn't date very much, in case you couldn't tell. But anyway, Walt Disney World, believe it or not, it's a little quick trip down memory lane. Walt Disney World still, thankfully, has a lot of great arcades, although Penny Arcade on Main Street USA, may you rest in peace. I miss you so very much. And your question last week was to tell me, what is the name of the arcade at Disney's Art of Animation Resort. Again, thanks to the more than 1,000 of you that entered, got this one correct, and sometimes got creative and or shared photos of you playing video games from the 80s. I dig the outfits. I still have some of them in my closet. But anyway, the answer to last week's question is, of course, the Pixel Play Arcade. Again, that very sort of retro name, retro feel. And I took all of the correct entries, randomly selected one. And again, you were playing for my 102 ways to save money for and at Walt Disney World book. All 7 of my virtual audio walking tours of the Magic Kingdom, all of which, by the way, still on sale for just $10 at the WW Radio Shop. A WW Radio Magic Band cover, some stickers, a pop socket for your phone. And I'm going to randomly select a shirt from the WW Radio shirt store over at wwradio.com/shirts. It could be a WW Radio logo shirt. It could be a Disney shirt, Marvel, Star Wars. There is a ton of them in there. I'd love for you to go check them out. Again, go to wwradio.com/shirts to order yours. And last week's winner, randomly selected, is Frank Peterman. So Frank, congratulations. You use the online form. I have not only your shirt size, but your address, so I will get your prize package out to you right away. If you played last week and didn't win, that's okay, because here's your next chance to enter in this week's Walt Disney World Trivia Challenge. So I'm going to keep this one pretty simple-ish and straightforward, because I want you to try and think and remember, or you can do the Google if you have to, where in Walt Disney World have you heard, or maybe can you hear, this phrase? Here in the realm of eternal darkness, nature has provided her creatures with their own eerie luminescence. That's it. Tell me where in Walt Disney World you can or could have heard that phrase. Go to wwradio.com, click on this week's podcast, use the online form there to not only submit your answer, but your shipping address and your shirt size, because you're playing for the exact same prize package as you did last week, including one of the shirts from the store. So you have until Sunday, April 1st, to get your entries in. So good luck and have fun. That's going to do it for this week's show. Thank you again for tuning in this and every week. I would love for you to be part of the continuing conversation, more importantly, the community that we have over on Facebook. Please go to wdwradio.com/community. Be part of the family over on Facebook. Also, like our page at facebook.com/wdwradio and turn on notifications so you don't miss any new content, including podcasts, blogs, and live video. I go live every Wednesday night. Would love for you to be part of the show again at 7:30 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday night at facebook.com/WDW Radio. You can also connect with me on social. I am at Lou Mangiello on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest. I'd love to hear from you. If you have a question you want me to answer on the show, email me, lou@wdwradio.com, or call the voicemail at 407-900-9391. Be heard on the air. Speaking of family, I want to thank some of the longtime members and welcome some of the new members of the WDW Radio Nation family, including some day one, February 2015 members like David Potts, Martin Shergold from the UK, Gary Abels, Zach Hoover, David McIntosh, Barbie Schurz, and Michael Kell. I sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. And if you want to find out how you can really help the show and also get exclusive rewards every month, I write and send out a new scavenger hunt every month. We also have a private Facebook group, personalized Magic Band covers, logo gear, t-shirts. I send out monthly care packages from Walt Disney World. We also do a monthly exclusive live video group call. We're all on a call together. Again, to find out more, visit wdwradio.com/support. And please don't forget that a portion of your contributions will go to our Dream Team project to benefit the Make-A-Wish Foundation of America. And of course, as always, as much as I love connecting with you online, I still believe that nothing beats a handshake and a hug. It's why I continue to do monthly meetups in Walt Disney World, as well as special events. We have our Alaska cruise and a few other events I'm working on for later this year and the next couple of years, as a matter of fact. But our next meet of the month in Walt Disney World is going to be Saturday, April 21st. If you are a runner or play one on TV, you know that that's the Run Disney Dark Side weekend, so I figured we had to make it somewhat Star Wars related. We're going to meet and eat from 1:30 to 3 p.m. again Saturday, April 21st at the Backlot Express, which is right next to Star Tours at Disney's Hollywood Studios. We can meet, eat, handshakes and a hug, maybe even take a group ride on Star Tours. We'll sort of play it by ear. Again, to find out more, to RSVP, it's always, always free and open to everybody, whether you come alone, bring the whole family. It is, of course, kid-friendly as well. Please visit the events page over at facebook.com/WW Radio. If you are running that weekend, I am not, but I will be out on the sidelines cheering you on, whether you're running the 5K, the 10K, and or the half. And if you are not a member of the WW Radio running team and would like to, it doesn't matter if you walk, run, walk, jog, are trying to win the race or just get to the starting line, or even if you want to just come cheer, you can join the team by going to wdwradio.com/running. Of course, I also do other meetups and events on the road. To find out how I can speak to your conference, to your event, or to your school, you can visit loumangello.com. And I would love to help you turn whatever that thing is that you love into that thing that you do. So if you have a blog, a podcast, a video show, a website, or even just an idea, if there's a way that I can help you turn that passion into your profession, go to loumangello.com. There you can find out about some mentoring, some group coaching, maybe working with you one-on-one. And also, I have two events coming up in Walt Disney World. I currently only have 1 out of 10 spots left for my Momentum Weekend Retreat in Walt Disney World, June 1st through the 3rd. But my Momentum Weekend Workshop is a two-day event, October 6th and 7th, with an optional mastermind day on Tuesday, limited to just 50 people. This is a way to sort of come together in an intimate setting to learn and share and discuss and troubleshoot and make real changes to your life and business. To find out more, visit loumangello.com/momentum. Early bird tickets are on sale, but in April, the ticket prices will go up again. loumangello.com/momentum. Thanks as always to Becky Mankin, my official and recommended travel provider. It's who I recommend because it's who I love, and it's because it's who I use and trust personally. So whether you're coming to Walt Disney World, and hopefully you are soon, or you're going out to Disneyland, Adventures by Disney, a cruise, or anywhere on the planet, visit mousefantravel.com for the best possible price, all available discounts, but most importantly, for the incredible level of service that they provide. Then go to celebrationspress.com and order or subscribe to Celebrations Magazine. As always, my friend, and you are my friend, whether we have met yet or not, all I ask is just do one thing for me. If you like the show, and I hope that you do, please help spread the word. Let others know about it. Tell your friends, whether it's on Twitter or sharing a link on Facebook. And if you can, take 30 seconds to rate and review the show over on iTunes. It would be incredibly helpful. I want to thank some recent reviewers like Amy Cope, who says, "I'm living vicariously through Lou. I've been a longtime listener and have shared this podcast with too many people to count." That's awesome. Thank you. "The podcast is the way that I can keep my pulse on what's going on at my home away from home. As an Orlando native that's lived far away for too many years, the podcast is what keeps me sane in between visits about every other year. I've been to Disney too many times to count. My family has always worked for the company, literally since day one, which is awesome, in a big range of roles, but I always learn something new from the podcast. I have all kinds of things to look forward to on my next trip, like Pandora and Geyser Point." TH Florida says, "I came for the content. I stayed for the community." I love that. "I found the WW Radio podcast for my love of Disney. I've been a lifelong fan since my first visit to the world in 1976. I built a house and moved my family to Celebration in and lived there from 2004 to 2009, all the way from Boston. I was interested in the content and the topics, which are fantastic. However, I became addicted because of the incredible passion of the community and the infectious, positive Disney vibes of the stellar host, Lou Munger." Wow, thank you. "Very worthwhile, very interesting, excellent topic and subject matter. Go, Lou." And Spartan D920 says, "Lou sent me. I've loved listening to Lou. His amiable style makes him great to listen to, and he's insanely knowledgeable about all things Disney." Wow, thank you. But listen, I agree. And first of all, I appreciate every single one of you that left a review, but you're right. And this is about community. And it's not the community that I created. It's the community. Look, I just built the clubhouse. You are the ones that populate it. That's why I invite you to be part of the group over on Facebook. Go to wdwradio.com/community and invite you to invite your friends to be part of
this clubhouse, be part of really this extended family that I consider you to be a part of. And to that point, I was overwhelmed this week. And just a quick story, and I was sitting at my desk like I am right now working on the show, and I pulled up the voicemails to insert at the end, because every week I listen to every single word of every single voicemail that comes in. And this week I thought something was wrong, like very wrong, because my voicemail box was flooded with messages, like far more than I have ever seen in the past 13 years of podcasting. I saw the number and I started to panic. And I was like, what did you do? Because I must have said or done something really bad. And here's the barrage of audio hate mail. I was wrong. Instead, I've been sitting here. I am okay to admit, literally crying with my head in my hands. Why? Because of the stories that you guys have been sharing with me via voicemail, including ones that I'm going to play right after this, but some that weren't meant for the show that you indicated were just meant for my own ears. And they're everything of stories of long forgotten memories and make-a-wish dreams that have been fulfilled, and children and parents and love and friendship and loss and joy and pain and personal triumph. And I am speechless as I listen to the stories and the kind words and the sentiments, not just about Disney and this place that many of us consider home, but this relationship that you and I have. I love this medium because I believe it is so incredibly intimate, because unlike a blog where you can't hear the laughter, the passion, the emotion, I think that this is so much more personal and so much intimate. And I appreciate you not just taking the time to listen, but to tweet me or to Facebook me or message me. And to every one of you that called the voicemail, I will promise in the next few weeks, I will play all of those voicemails that you guys, you know, gave me permission to play on the show, because it really is a testament to you. And again, you know, I just sort of built up the walls of the clubhouse, but you are the ones that come together. And I think the reason why we have something different and something unique and something special, it's not because I don't care about the numbers of people that are there. I care about the people that are there. I care about you. And I think that you become magnets for the kind of people that you want to attract. And that's why we get along so well in the Box People group, when we do Meet of the Month, when we go on group cruises together, or just run into each other in the parks. And I am humbled and grateful, and in ways that I cannot express, to you and for you, for not just listening, but for being my friend, for being part of this extended family and creating this very, very special community that you have built. So be very proud of this thing that you have accomplished and this thing that you are such an important and special part of. I love and appreciate you, and I don't use that love word lightly. I really do hope that this is your best week ever. I hope to see and give you a handshake and a hug so I can look you in the eyes and say thank you one day, whether it's in Walt Disney World, on a cruise, as you're running by during Star Wars, you know, Dark Side weekend, whenever and wherever it is, because I want to find a way to say thank you to you. So I do hope this is your best week ever. So until next time, see ya.
Hey, Lou, this is Kate Wallace from New Jersey. I'm a fairly new listener, and I just have to say I love the podcast. It makes me smile every day that I go to work and come home from work. I look forward to the ride, and I just listen to the emotions that we get in Walt Disney World. And I've been going there my entire life with my family, and now I have a daughter of my own, and just walking down Main Street brings that teary-eyed emotion pretty much every time, especially around Christmas time, even though I've never actually gone in December. Seeing the lit-up castle in November and hearing the Christmas music just brings out the emotion. There's plenty of other moments that do that as well. The first time my daughter saw characters that she wanted to see when she was three, Bippity-Boppity Boutique, as you mentioned. And the first time she went on the teacups, I mean, she was just so happy with that natural laughter. I completely understand what you're talking about. Your show is very relatable, and it's really great. So keep doing what you're doing. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, Lou. It's Terry Stinson Doherty, and I just wanted to say one of the many things that make me emotional, as I think you know they all do, everything within that 42, 44, whatever it is now, square mile radius, is not Illuminations itself, but waiting for Illuminations in my favorite spot, listening to Illuminations pre-show music and people watching. I'm sitting there by myself, even when my family is with me and they're off doing World Showcase shopping, and I'm just saving that spot in Italy, unless it's being taken by some dessert party. I have a very bad look on my face right now. But anyway, just sitting and people watching just is the greatest joy, and I am not going to cry while I tell you these things. I'm just telling you that that is what brings me joy, and I know that's kind of strange and unique. In every trip, when I first lay eyes on Spaceship Earth, I'm like, hey, I really am. Anyway, so that's mine. That's all. And I am not crying. And have a wonderful day. And this said in my best, best northern accent. Y'all have a great day. Bye.
Hey, Lou. It's Christine Morrison from Flowertown, PA. Hope everybody's doing good. We're about to get more snow today and tomorrow. I thought it was spring, but not sure about that. Anyway, I'm listening to your latest podcast with little Timmy Foster about emotions in Disney World, and a few things sprung to my mind. One of my absolute favorite things that I'll never forget, we were at the Pixar live show where they had the orchestra playing music and then showing the clips, and that's at the Beauty and the Beast Theater. We went and it was amazing. And at the end of the show, or near the end, they look over to my 15-year-old boy. You know, they don't like to show emotion at that age. Everything's cool. You know, they have to be cool. He's crying. And he looks at me like, uh-oh, you caught me. So I put my hand on his knee and I was like, I gotcha. No worries. But he's crying over this show. It elicited that much emotion out of a 15-year-old boy, which I thought was amazing. And then, like you were saying, we get off Flight of Passage. There's like 7 or 8 of us, and we all looked at each other like we couldn't even speak. We all had the same exact emotional response of awe and gasp, and we're like, it just, I can't even talk right now. It took us all a few minutes to kind of wrap our minds around what we had just done, but we all loved it. And then back in 2012, you're talking about getting on the bus to go back to the airport. We stayed at Art of Animation, and I get on the bus, and I'm, you know, an adult, and I look at Art of Animation as we're driving away, and I seriously had tears in my eyes, and I did not want to go home. I could stay in Disney World forever. So have a wonderful week. I just wanted to let you know some emotional memories that I have of Disney World. So have a great week. I'll see you guys tomorrow night in the box. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Lou Mongello, this is Jason Elkins from Andersonville, Tennessee. Just listened to the emotion-themed podcast and had been wanting to call in forever. Been a long-time listener, and just hadn't really found the right moment to do so, but that triggered something in me that I started thinking back to some trips that my family had taken, and the first trip we had taken as a family was in 2015. My wife and my daughter and I, she was about 2.5, 3 at the time. And when we were standing outside the Magic Kingdom for the first time, I was, I had her up there on my shoulders, and I could see the look in her eye, the smile on her face was the same one that I'd had probably, I think the first time I'd went was in 1982 with my family. And that just, I mean, that moment meant the world to me, that I was able to take her to a place that meant so much to me as a kid. And then kind of fast forward a little bit, the next trip we took was in 2017, and we had added another daughter, and we went to, we took them to Bippity Boppity Boutique, and they got dolled up there, and then we went to Cinderella's Castle and had dinner, which was amazing. Watched the fireworks from a window seat. That trip could never be duplicated. If that had been the last time we would have went, that would have been absolutely perfect. But we have been fortunate enough to go back since, and that'll be a trip that we're chasing. I mean, there was everything on that trip was, it just went seamlessly. It's unbelievable. But thanks for all that you do, and really appreciate the podcast and the information that you pass along and share with everyone. And you really keep the enthusiasm for Disney alive.
Hi, I was calling to share my thoughts in response to what is the most emotional moment or memory in Walt Disney World. For me, every time I go, I will cry, you know, when I leave, like, oh my gosh, I'm leaving. But I think the most emotional experience I had, and this goes to the idea that there are some things at Disney World that money can't buy. I was waiting in line to talk to one of the Disney princesses. I was waiting in line to see the Disney princesses, and I saw Aurora, I saw Rapunzel, and then I got to Cinderella, and I was wearing a necklace, and she said, oh, what a beautiful necklace. My fairy godmother would love it. And I said, well, I actually wear it as a memento for someone who passed away. And she became very somber and said, I'm so sorry. And I said, no, it's okay. She was very old when she passed. She was actually 89 years old. She lived a long and wonderful life, and she was just full of happiness and life and inspiration in my life. And she looked at me and said, she was your fairy godmother. And I just grabbed her and I hugged her, and the tears just started to come. And there are some moments that either that a castmate can generate or a character that you'll never be able to put it into words. It's just one of the most incredible places in the world. And I just had to share my experience there. So thanks so much, and keep doing awesome work with the show.
Hey Lou, this is Michelle from Massachusetts. This is my first time calling in. I just wanted to tell you an experience that makes me a little emotional at Walt Disney World. I'm sure there are many things that make people emotional, but one of them for me is the boat horns on the Seven Seas Lagoon in Bay Lake. We used to stay at Fort Wilderness growing up every year as a child, and so the boats were our main source of transportation. So when I hear that horn, it gets me excited, because when I was little, it meant that we were going somewhere fun. We were either going to go explore the resorts or go to the Magic Kingdom, and it meant that the boat was almost here and that it was close. So every time I hear that boat horn, still to this day, it still really makes me happy and gets me excited, and it's just kind of a soothing sound to me, oddly enough. But I just wanted to tell you about that. Have a magical day.
Hello, Lou Mantello. It's Darlene Nagy from West Seneca, New York, calling in to say that you guys are like 3 months away, 90 days, until your cruise to Alaska and that big wedding for Beatrice and Dennis. Yay! Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited for her. And we have, almost 2 months. I can start booking my fast passes for my May trip, and then I have 193 days until I'm back in Florida with and going to Disney with Stuart and Michelle and Keith. We're going to have such a great time. Can't wait to see everybody. Love, hugs, and happy St. Patrick's Day. You go.